You know, reading the scripture this morning, I didn't realize the sound system was going to be so boisterous. It reminded me of a professor I had in seminary. His name was Dr. Wayne Ward. His nickname among seminarians was Weeping Wayne Ward. He would come into class, and did you see what was in this? It was be some religious periodical. And I was laughing to myself while my voice increased and everything, because Dr. Ward was a wonderful, warm-hearted person. And I said to him one day, I said, Dr. Ward, I just finished reading your theology outline, and I love it. And he says, Anthony, may your tribe increase by 1,000. Dr. Ward's gone to his reward in heaven now, but I always think of Weeping Wayne Ward a lot of times and all that. But you know, truthfully, you say, well, what's Philippians have to do with the Advent and Christmas? I think it has everything to do with Advent and Christmas, because they are a time when people, especially those of us in the church, hopefully do have better dispositions than others not connected with organized religion. You know, I like to think that during this season of Advent and Christmas, we can cast off all those little negatives that we're all guilty of something, you know. And I think one of the things we should do is quit judging others, because we've not walked in their shoes. And that would be nice if we kept it up the rest of the year and beginning in 2025. A lot of other things, animosity and jealousy and all that rolls into one, this should be a time of hanging all those little negatives on the wall and keep them there and not take them down. And so I think many people, if not all, go through cycles of cheerfulness as well as moments of sullenness. Every one of us hopes and prays for frequent mountaintop spiritual experiences, but sometimes it evaporates soon enough. There is one thing which keeps folks from losing their sanity, and that is if a person has a stable and comfortable faith with God. Just think about that. That's the most important. Have a stable and comfortable faith in God. Well, it doesn't matter if one's external faith is fragile looking occasionally. What really counts is to know deep down that God loves us, every one of us, warts and all, without any reservation whatsoever. And maybe it does look like your life is in shambles, but it doesn't have to be. I noticed an advertisement on Facebook the other day. You probably saw it too. It was about Christmas dinners at a homeless shelter in Lakeland. It showed the picture of a man dining there, probably last Christmas sometime. But my thought was, how would my outlook change of Christmas if I were the person in that photograph? Paul wrote this passage to assist fellow Christians to nurture their faith to a higher dimension than to just maintain a mediocre one. You know, sometimes when we're under a lot of stress and pressure, it seems like we grow closer to God than we do. And especially this time of year, hopefully we do grow closer to God. But getting back to that man, he was at the homeless shelter in Lakeland. You know, that must be a frightening thing, not to have any permanency whatsoever, and not knowing where your next meal may come from, because the next time he shows up, they may not have room for him. Or what about a place to sleep? Or what about warmer clothing, especially in chillier weather? And so those things most of us don't have to consider. But our viewpoint, our aspect of Christmas may be totally different when we are wearing a different pair of shoes. And, you know, at numerous intervals over the past 15 years, I've read a series of books written by a retired minister. I think he's dead now, but I used to give out copies as inspirational devotionals. The basic premise of his books were to give thanks and gratitude in all things, which occur in our lives, whether good or bad. He was actually imitating what the Apostle Paul wrote about rejoicing always, and let your gentleness be evident to all, and do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, when bad things happen to people, you've heard me use that phrase the past few Sundays, sometimes it's kind of hard to look beyond your nose because things have fallen apart. But what Paul wrote here and what this retired minister had written here was, yes, it may be a bad time in your life, but look up, because God will not abandon you, and his peace, which transcends, or the King James says, passeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so the actual implication, and I thought this when I first read this man's books, that made the Lord responsible for our own problems. That's not the way God works. Of course, the actual theme is that God does not send us bad things, but intervenes in getting people through such trials and tribulations. My sister always reminds me sometimes, and I'm complaining, that she says everything has a reason, and it certainly does. But what we think might be the worst thing, God can help us out. The old Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, you said one time, 99% of our troubles and problems never come into being or fruition. But we still are worry warts, aren't we? We wring our hands. We worry about what's the doctor's diagnosis of our latest blood work, or am I going to make payments on this or that? I mean, it's just amazing, or what's going to happen next week. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing, but we don't have to feel that we're alone, you know, and it does say in Scripture that God will take care of us. Now you say, boy, that's pulling a rabbit out of the hat. No, it's not. It's a fact. It certainly is. I bet every person here could stand up right now, if given the opportunity, to tell me things that they've encountered in the past week or two that would blow us out of the water. But God still controls of situations. Don't ever forget that there is hope out there. There really is. But God does not send bad things upon us. But when upsetting troubles do, attempt to give thanks to God, because he continues, and I'll say this again, be in control and will create something good to come out of it. Have you ever wanted something so bad you could taste it like a T-bone steak, and yet you didn't receive it, and you say, oh, I am really down in the dumps. I'm disappointed. But guess what? God will provide something much better. And God always does. And I know that for a fact. Various stories about abusive spouses, juvenile delinquent youngsters, troubles in the workplace and at home. The list is endless, because when people turn those ugly episodes over to God, he will do something remarkable. The misery may continue, but God's strength will give us the momentum and courage to endure. The only problem with human beings is they want to be the fix-it-uppers, the rescuers, and problem solvers without consulting God. We can't do that. We have to allow God to be the senior partner in anything that we do. And as usual, we may only turn to God as a last resort. Whatever it is, whether good or bad, by making God the focus of our praise will create joy from within. Think about that. Joy is what our hearts should long for. Can people give thanks to God about a relative, friend, or anyone who has hurt them deeply? Well, it can make a lot of people feel very saddened that there's a divide within the family. It may be that you have a friend that you were good, close friends with through the years, and they've moved on. And you wonder, well, what did I do? You may have not done anything to them. It's that people change a lot of times. And in that regard, by changing, they may not think that you fit in into their lives anymore. And that happens all the time. And, you know, and give thanks that you had them as a friend. Give thanks that perhaps you're not as close to a relative as you once were, but perhaps God can work something out. Yes, it is possible, and the hardest thing that we could ever tempt is to ask for forgiveness to them. The so-called enemy may not be entirely changed or even aware of it, but it makes a person, a better person out of you. You think about that, because you give the fortitude and the encouragement, and God has altered your heart and thought patterns. Why? Because I've done it and it works. If however, you are content to hold a grudge or delight in personal pity parties, it will only defeat you. Think about that. Your life will always go around with a dark cloud hanging over it. Negativity will spell out. It's worse than a fever. And negativity will become a part and parcel of not just your thought patterns, but your vocabulary too. It will usher in something that most people stay away from. It's like toxic waste. It shouldn't happen, but it does. And so there are people who are despicable in our minds because they've hurt us. And I always joke about this. If voodoo dolls really worked, we'd have a china cabinet filled with needles stuck in all of them. But voodoo dolls are not the answer, but God is the solution. Well, what about those of us who've had health or financial issues, or we aren't sure about the outcome, about something that has happened to us, and we're scratching our heads, biting our fingernails, and thinking, what's going to happen? Well, in your prayers, praise God that He will give you the stamina and fortitude to face it. The antonym of joy, the opposite of joy, is fear. And when fear takes over, it destroys hope and, yes, even joy. Don't permit it. Don't allow it to go. You know, you've seen signs in city parks, don't step on the grass, no trespassing. Well, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't allow fear. We shouldn't go to that little corner of the lot where fear is predominant. We should avoid it with a passion. And thank God, again, repeatedly, that He is in control. Grumbling never helps in any situation. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness after leaving Egypt, it was complaining that almost finished them off. I've been reading through the first five books of the Bible. I'm up to Deuteronomy now. I've even been through some of the dry territory, Leviticus, and there's jewels, nuggets in there. But something I noticed, that Moses told God to strike him down. He said, I'm tired of this complaining. I'm tired of people just always just, if you give them apples, they want oranges. And I'm not using that out of the Bible. That's basically what the children of Israel were asking. They were in slavery, and a lot of them said, we'd rather be in slavery in Egypt than be in the wilderness. Now, when they were in slavery in Egypt, it was not a pleasant experience at all. And they were crying to leave the place. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was trying to literally stomp them out. I didn't say stamp them out, but stomp them out. He was very brutal to them. Yet, in their minds, they had nostalgia. You know, sometimes memories can play tricks on you. You remember things that you thought were pleasant, but if you had to go back, they were the good old days were not all that nice, were they? I remember my father used to talk about the Great Depression and how things were going. And he almost romanticizing eating cube steak and gravy and all that, and pinto beans about every day. But don't you think after a while you get a little tired of the same food? But they did in the 1930s. You just think about that. And the children of Israel were threatening to kill Moses because they said, you're not fit or qualified to lead or guide us. And that's when Moses told God, go ahead and kill me. I'm ready to die. I'm sick of these people. But God was there for Moses. And desert landscapes are beautiful. And you have to empathize a little bit with the children of Israel. But seriously, would any of us ever want to camp out for 40 years in such a place? Nowadays, we have air conditioning, and we can make things work pretty well if we live in a climate. Well, we'll look at Florida. Before air conditioning, Florida was there was not very many people here. But after air conditioning, Florida and Arizona and California started blossoming because people were able to survive and live in those places. But by not giving praise and glory to God, the children of Israel sought to do it their way, and it was a bad choice. And they would prefer to, like I said, made a U-turn and turn back and gone to Egypt. But God never abandoned them, and He will not abandon us as well. Think about that. But guess what? When we reconcile ourselves to God through gratitude, prayer, and rejoicing, there will be that complete peace that passeth all understanding. It's difficult to be human. It really, really is. But God understands and continues to love us. You know, a lot of times Moses has always been a hero of mine as far as a minister, because he had 3 or 4 million people to contend with. How would you like to be in charge of that many people? Reminds me of the story, you've heard it, I'm sure, about the young man. His mother came in to wake him up one Sunday morning. She said, son, it's time to get up and go to church. He said, I don't want to go to church. Says, those people aren't nice. And the mother said, but son, you're the pastor of the church. You better get there. So, you know, we have to think about it. Yeah, we're going to get criticized and all that. You know, thank goodness you all are a good bunch of people around here. But there's some churches where they run the minister out on a rail. I mean, it makes the French Revolution look like a Sunday school picnic. I mean, literally, it happens. And some people just don't like to be nice to others. What does it say in Ephesians? Be ye kind one to another. How many times are we kind to other people? What about that person cuts us off in traffic? Are we quickly to blow our horns and say a few words we shouldn't say? Or do hand signals that probably ought to not be done? But, and then most people, I tell you what, and you've heard me say this before, those who drive with the license plate "In God We Trust" on their vehicle, I've seen some of them do things that, I mean, you wouldn't expect from a person driving with a license plate like that on their car. So if you do things like that, change your license plate. Better to have Polk County or Sunshine State "In God We Trust," because you won't live up to it if you do some of those things I just said. But God, again, understands and continues to love us. That's the reason God came to earth in the form of a baby in Bethlehem. It was so humans could understand something. God cares for you. God actually cares for you. God is not some thing that floats around, and you say, well, where is God? I can't see Him. Well, God is spirit and truth. God will be there for you. Do you know every Sunday, both churches I go to, one in Fort Meade and over here, I always ask God to send the Holy Spirit ahead of me. See, I can't do a lot of things on my own. I'm not that intelligent. I need help from God. So when you can learn to admit that. Now, when I was just out of seminary, I didn't admit it. I thought I could do everything, including parting the Red Sea. But I found it and walk on water. But you can't do that. You have to learn, if you don't rely upon God, it's a lost cause. You know, God came in the form of a baby to Bethlehem because it was so humans could understand that God does care. Even when everything else seems dismal and hopeless. I had a couple in a former church. Sweetest couple in the world, but we had a nickname for them, Doom and Gloom. If you said the sun's going to come up in the east, says no, it's going to come up in the west. Or whatever it could be, they found a dark cloud, not a silver lining around that cloud, and so called them Doom and Gloom. I haven't nicknamed any of you yet, but you know, the thing about it is that so many times we throw the monkey on somebody else's back. Look at those people. Look at who's saying that. Well, what about ourselves? Have you ever done a personal self-inventory of yourself? It may be hurtful. It may be cruel a little bit, but we're not perfect. None of us are. So think about that during this Advent season and ask God through prayer to improve everything about you, including your faith, your life, your relationships to people, whatever it may be. God will help you out. And that is a promise that's found in the Bible. So never forget that as long as you get, because God never fails. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes in our lives, things look hopeless. They look grim. They look dismal. But we know that you are still in charge and in control of them. When we are at the end of our ropes or think we are, we know you will throw us more rope. Help and guide us, O Lord, to seek you out every minute of the day. Sometimes that may sound impossible, but you are there. You never go to sleep. You never use a watch. You're there for us all the time. Thank you, God, because sometimes we'll say it's easier said than done, but it's better to go to God because God says he'll do it, whereas we say we can't. We're limited. Help us, O Lord, to do what you would have us to do and give us a joyful heart this Advent season. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.